This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 572, recorded sometime in the future. I'm Brian Kilby. With me this week, we have Jason Kirk.
Yeah, I'm first. Woohoo! Hi, everyone.
With your new microphone.
Yes.
It did come in time. Good.
Yes. EVRE320, and nice. It is fantastic.
I like it. It looks fancy. I have a new shock mount that I paid too much money for, but
I've seen pictures.
It's made for my microphone.
Shocktastic.
Shocktastic. That's Diecast.
Hello.
We have Don, who is doing something. He's looking down and looks like he's sorting papers or something.
Probably trying to keep Massey away from that window still.
No, I gave Massey some food. He's busy enjoying himself.
Cool. And that was Rob Clay. Here's Chris. Hey. Chris is about to say something.
So, Don, I was thinking, to protect you from Massey, you know those underground fenceless fences they have for dogs, where the dog gets a mild shock if it tries to cross the perimeter? We need to outfit you with a belt made of that material and then put the collar on Massey. So if he gets too close to you, he just gets a, you know, gentle reminder that he should stay, you know, 10 yards away. Like there's a court order.
I don't want to put a restraining order on my cat. Because I can't pet it.
Like a true abuse victim, Don.
Cool thing is they make a portable barrier thing that you can use that does the same purpose. So he could just wear that, and
we could just put Don in a big plastic bubble.
That works better.
Ooh, yeah.
If we get a robust enough material, Max won't even be able to tear it.
Well, that's true.
When I was a kid, I was in enough of those, but back then we called them croup tents. So
do they still do that?
I'd do that again if I could.
Is that
in the '60s?
It was 70s, as recently as 20 years ago.
That's not that recent.
The first 8 years of my life, I was in a croup tent at least once a year. Because my bronchitis was so bad.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And for those who don't know, a croup tent is basically pure oxygen.
Yeah, wow. Hey, John, were you ever in a croup tent?
Can't say I was.
Me neither. No Melvar this week. Matt, his... So apparently...
Matt needs to move.
Matt needs to move, even though he just built his house.
Yeah.
Apparently, his cable line runs under the road in front of his house, and apparently the DOT severed the cable. Again.
So,
yeah, it's great. Hey, let's see here. Nothing major coming up. We are going to have a t-shirt store that John has been working on, so we're very excited about that. You figure we'll have it up next week, John?
We better. They said 1 to 2 weeks, and Friday will be like 2 weeks.
Okay. So we'll share that out on Twitter and Facebook and everything, and we'll make a nice handy URL for it if there's not already one.
How come it takes so long to get it up?
Okay. So,
all the starch has to have time to settle in. You know, it's t-shirts.
People starch t-shirts in the 21st century?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. But yeah, so we have that coming up, but not much. This is the sort of dead time of the year. We're just waiting for SDCC. If anything happens then. So,
right.
Yeah. Hey, did anybody get anything this week? I did. If you're watching the video, you'll see it right here. Got Grand Max.
Oh
yeah, I feel like I need to sticker him for some reason.
So, did Kim see it yet?
No, I was checking the tracking, and I came home on lunch to make sure that I got it and brought it in the house. But I did tell her about it.
Basically, it's just going to be snuck in, and she'll never notice among all the other stuff in the collection room.
She'll notice it.
Brian, I had to do that with my father when I was 17 because he didn't want me collecting. He didn't mean wasting my money on those toys, as he put it. That's very weird.
And Don, see, it just goes to prove how wrong he was, because you've invented a whole new form of economic theory based on those toys that he thought you were wasting your money on.
Yeah,
Don's a millionaire with that room.
but do you think Don's collection's worth six figures? Probably is. It
has
to be.
He has a lot of rare stuff, so...
It probably is.
Anybody's is, probably.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, believe me, I've been...
Three figures.
I've been tempted to just say, hey, come buy out my apartment, every single thing I own for X number of dollars, just to get rid of it.
Yeah, I've thought about that. Okay, so I'll mention it. So I don't know how many toys I have. I know that when I was counting, the last time I counted in 2004, 2005, I had like 1,600 figures.
Wow.
Yeah. So that video has been circulating on the internet of the guy who, BBC or whoever thinks has the world's largest Transformers collection of over 2,000 toys.
Right.
I think I have over 2,000.
Probably.
Yeah. But how many of yours are official?
A couple hundred.
No, it's I have more official than unofficial, but the unofficial is catching up.
So yeah, not knocking the guy's collection because he had some good stuff, and he in the video did not claim that he had the world's largest collection. The video producers were the ones who suggested that, but it's just funny that they said in the Guinness Book of World Records the largest Transformers collection was 1,000 pieces, and I'm like, when did somebody have that in like 1985?
Yeah,
like so. Yeah, I have no idea.
Because, you know, if John and Carl had had it, it probably still would be unbroken.
Yeah.
So,
seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really should have gotten contact with them when they had their collection at High Point back, 5-10 years ago now?
Yeah, they sold through, a ton of stuff. I mean, I sold through some stuff, too, but I don't think I sold more than a couple hundred items over the course of 20 years. But yeah, I thought that was a funny video, and a lot of people have been sharing it. So Grand Max, I have that, and that's all I got this week. Anybody else?
Looks very pretty, Brian. He looks very pretty. I just wish I cared more about that figure. It wasn't such a letdown, but it's a gorgeous looking repaint.
I'll be honest with you, I was way happier with Great Shot.
Man, I'm not surprised. Yeah. Kind of Great Shot. That mold's easier to play with. I mean,
yeah.
Chris, did you get anything? Do you have any luck today?
Oh, no.
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 Okay.
Thank you for going to the effort, though. I appreciate it.
I checked mine. I didn't see anything. So, for talking about Trypticon, which is supposedly hit Ollie's last week, should have gone.
I mean, it did.
Yeah, it did. It's been and gone, and I'm just going to let it pass.
Matt DM'd me a photo of the stack of them from his store when he went, just, rub it in a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds great.
Kind of like
you could have dropped one off on the way to JoeCon.
You could have. It's one of those things. Like, I bought an extra Fort Max when they got Fort Max in last year, and then I just gave it to Toys for Tots because I don't need another Fort Max, and I don't need another Trypticon.
You just bought Grand Max. So.
Yes, I realized the irony of that. Yes.
Yes. If you really want to hide that from Kim, just swap it out in your display with Fort Max and put that in a closet somewhere, and just see if she ever notices.
So speaking of closets, the shelf in my closet day before yesterday, I thought it was thunder. Apparently what happened is the shelf collapsed.
Oh,
and everything came down, raining down. Fortunately, not much in the way of damage, but God, my floor is completely full of stuff that I have to put a new shelf up. And the owners of the house before us, I thought everything was anchored into studs. They just used those drywall anchors. It's amazing that it held for as long as it did.
Yep.
That's crazy.
We have a detached garage, which is like 20, 30 feet off the house. It was built after the house was put here. And we had a big shelf in there collapse last year, I think. And you could hear that all the way to the other side, the opposite side of the house.
No doubt.
It was that loud.
No doubt. That's crazy. So, Diecast, you did not get Taobao, but did you get anything else?
I did not get anything. And it's not by lack of trying, because I went to, not that anything new is going to pop up at Toys R Us, but I went to my Toys R Us's and I was kicking myself a little bit because the one Toys R Us still had two of the Planet Cybertrons, and they're now up to 40% off. And I was like, I could have got it for like $90.
Yeah.
Speaking of Toys R Us real quick, though, if anybody listening still has a Toys R Us they can get to, and there happens to still be a Studio Series Thundercracker on the shelves, you may want to pick up an extra, because Toy Hacks just put out an update today, and among their conversion sticker kits is one set for that Thundercracker that is G2 Dreadwing inspired, and it's actually pretty cool
looking.
Really? Oh, yeah, yes. I saw that. Mm-hmm. I saw that in my email I think when I was actually on my first stop on my trip today.
I noticed that today, because I had to check my spam folder, I was looking for something, and all my Toy Hacks emails have been going to my spam folder for months.
That's not cool.
Yeah, so I definitely fixed that. So, unfortunately. Jason, you anything?
To get in the show every week, I had to sell my soul. And by sell my soul, I mean never see another new toy in my area again. So, I have nothing.
Yeah, there's maybe a reason for that. Don, yeah. Anything?
Yeah, it's I got Trypticon last week. I picked up two, one for me, one from my friend Fred. And I picked up today, I was bored, couldn't find anything. I picked up the little Megatron and Optimus.
I guess, are
these the Authentics is what they're calling the Authentics?
Yeah.
Put it away. Yeah, it's ugly. It's going to break the camera.
These are if the camera ain't broke yet from you, Diecast, it's a very good camera. I picked up him and Optimus. I don't know why. I just decided to.
I kind of like that little Megatron, honestly.
I can't find it.
It's not bad. It's just the problem is the vehicle mode, it doesn't quite solidify. And it's just kind of, it's like in robot mode, his feet are literally just on the side as like blast panels. That's his foot. And his arms do the whole war path from the Megatron mold where the arms come together and the cannon fits in the middle. That it's basically that, but it's like, for example, here on the front, you can tell there's the gap and they don't peg together. There's two little tabs on top that the legs slot into as like guide points, but the gap doesn't actually close. And so when you put the legs together and then you put the cannon on top, it's basically the same thing as that Megatron that came with Chop Shop a couple years ago, and then the Warpath repaint.
Yeah,
so it's not bad. It's just I'm glad I didn't buy. If I had saw the $10 version, I'm glad I didn't buy that.
So
if there's a $10 version,
I'm glad
I don't think there is.
So, no, there's not.
Don, did you get anything else? Cause you just struck a chord. You reminded me of something.
No, that's all I got. Trypticon and these two was it.
I did get the $10 Authentics, and I completely forgot about it. Where did you find yours?
I found these two at Family Dollar.
Okay.
I stopped by Dollar General, but didn't see anything there. But it was too hot to do a toy crawl for these.
I found the $10 toys, two of them, Bumblebee and Grimlock, at Family Dollar.
What do you think of that Grimlock?
I like the look of the small Authentics at this price point. I hate to say this. I don't think this line helps Hasbro or the Transformers at all. I think it's actually detrimental to the health of the brand. They're so bad.
Oh, well.
They're so bad. And it's like, I think it says age 4+ or 6+. I wouldn't want a kid playing with them. I don't like them. I love toyetic toys. I love toys that are fiddly and, you know, toy-like. I don't mind so much that, like, the Generations toys are hollow because they're toys. But these are, like, they're almost knockoff quality. The plastic's better, but it's like a third-rate, it is a third-rate dollar store Transformer, except it's official. Uh-huh. And I kind of hate them.
You raise a good point, Brian. This is actually the first toy that I would actually consider using the shampoo bottle analogy for that I personally have had in my collection. This is very shampoo bottly. Bodily. So I mean, it's a desk fiddler. It's like what Eric does with his figures. He'll put them on the desk. He'll play with them. He'll take funny pictures.
But I have good toys to put on my desk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't see the appeal or get the intent behind these.
Yeah. The intent is that people who would not spend $17 on a deluxe figure for their kids can still get a figure for their kids.
Yeah, but just make it smaller.
Yeah.
Make it a good toy.
Look at the size of that Megatron Don's hand. They did make it smaller still.
But like, but the $10 one that I have is like the size of a deluxe or larger, but it's crap.
Yeah, I think Walkie posted a picture that showed it's almost exactly the same size as Power of the Primes Voyager Grimlock.
Yeah.
And a third of the price, which is the point.
Yeah.
in places that people are going to go to do their everyday shopping as opposed to going specifically somewhere for toys.
Yeah.
I did just find a way to redeem the Megatron. He is 5mm compatible, so he's holding Shuffler. So the figure has
That works.
I mean,
I bet you Shuffler weighs exactly as much as that Megatron does. You're
probably right. I like the look of that Megatron. I wish I had.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this Grimlock looks okay. Bumblebee looks terrible.
I'm kind of hoping that the like rumors and leaks that have been going around that make me think that there could be like generations versions of these Authentics designs turn out to be true, because I would not mind a, you know, generation style figure of the Authentics design Megatron.
Ah, but the trick is, would you ever be able to find one in a store?
Well, that is the question.
So let's get through this so we can talk about that. So Rob, did you get anything?
Not a thing.
John, did you get anything?
Nope. Sorry.
Okay. So like right at the end of the show last week, we got a text message at 931-994-6268, which you can leave us a text or a voicemail. And I'll just go ahead and read it because we've been wanting to talk about it all week. Okay, the text message says, hey guys, love the show. I'll make this short and sweet, and then parentheses, better. What's to make of the Power of the Primes distribution lately? I work for a large retailer, and the Deluxes and Voyagers say they're out at the DC distribution center. Wave 2 Deluxes were on pegs very shortly, and that's how I completed my Dinobots. But since the replenishment was another Wave 1, followed by the, quote, out at DC, unquote, Voyager, was only Wave 1 and done. Any insight on what the heck is going on, or what a collector should do when hunger is going to go for double the price? Keep up the good work, and love you, Don. Aw.
Everybody loves Don.
Everybody loves Don.
That's our new show also coming to our spinoff channel.
And he and John DeLuna are probably the only ones that everybody uniformly loves. Then there's varying levels of love after that.
I'm tolerable.
You guys should just have a show. Everybody loves John and Don. And it's like, well, hey, you know, almost everybody loves Rob, Brian, Chris, and Diecast.
Yeah. Well, as different as John and I are, we could be like a perfect strangers generation two, you know?
If you'd like dressed in hammer pants and stuff. Don.
I've got more bosom buddies for you two.
Yeah, Don is definitely Balky. The accent, the simple country naivete. Yeah.
The weird
from
food.
A place that doesn't actually exist.
From a place. Yeah. Don's home exists. I've been there. So, okay. So, yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
So, I'm really confused as to what's going on because normally when we have a lapse like this, there's a reason like, oh, they're changing warehouses. They're changing, you know, plants where they're getting made. I mean, none of that stuff.
The end of a line.
But this isn't the end of we know what the end of the line is, this is not
the
it.
Planned,
Wave 2 is not it.
The intended end of the line.
I understand that, but still, there's plans for, you know, Wave 3, Wave 4, so where is Wave 2? And it's not just one retailer that's having this problem, it's the distributors aren't getting it to get it to the to the sellers.
When we say distributors, what do we mean by that?
Because the people that buy them direct from Hasbro that can sell them to other places. So let's
step back for a second. When I work in retail, I've worked in retail my entire adult life. The company that I work for, we don't deal with distributors. We deal with the manufacturer. And we have agreements with our manufacturers. I don't know why Hasbro would be any different. I don't know why Walmart would have to work through a third party to get this. They should be working directly with Hasbro.
Well, so, big stores, let's say big stores like Walmart, Target, you know, Toys R Us, even though they're going under, they get them. They have a direct relationship with Hasbro. They're getting them
Big
direct.
Bad has a direct relationship with Hasbro.
Mm-hmm. Big Bad also does. But Big Bad can also be a distributor for
smaller stores.
Smaller stores. And I think a lot of times in retail, when people work in retail, when they say what's going on with distribution, they're talking about their distribution or Walmart's distribution.
Their own network. Yeah. Their own supply chain network.
Yeah, that's what I assume they meant by out at the distribution center. Their retailer's distribution center. And if it's out at the distribution center, that either means, there's two answers. Hasbro is not supplying it, or it was simply never ordered.
Right. And I think this is a case of not simply it wasn't ordered, as a case of Hasbro's not getting it to them.
So there are things, to Diecast's point, there are things that could, I don't know how Walmart or Target systems work, but there are things that could pop up that it might not be that they weren't ordered, but they might not be ordered on time. So you have to deal with lead times for anything coming out of China. And I mean, distribution is weeks. And then the actual window where you're going to set the product at the store, depending on the retailer, may be very narrow. So if the product doesn't come in when they're going to set the toy, you know, the old stuff will sit on the shelf until there are enough holes to bring in the new stuff, if they do it at all. So, I mean, there are other things that could happen, but this is not, that's usually a one-off store problem. This is the case, like, chain-wide for multiple chains. So something ain't good.
You made the point that old stock will sit until there's enough space to bring out the new stock if there is a timing problem. But
old new stock.
We've seen a lot of observed cases here where there just is no stock. So, I mean, like, that's not even the problem we're looking at here in every case.
Yeah, there's tons of space, but no stock. I have one, you know, hypothetical for this that, you know, is non-apocalyptic, and I just want to run it by you guys. Could it be, since we know that factory time and design and all these things are planned in advance on a relatively, you know, long-term schedule, could it be that the delay of the Bumblebee movie threw everything out of whack, and that stuff just had to be made and is having to sit somewhere for a street date in December, and that's why there's just nothing around? Could it be that they expected to have the Bumblebee movie stuff in this space that is empty right now, and that's why there's nothing there?
I was wondering that same thing.
My speculation is that if Hasbro went to Walmart and said, we have to send you this stuff that got made even though our movie was pushed back to the end of the year, but you can't put any of it out on the shelves until then. You got to sit on it in your distribution centers for 8 to 10 months. I believe Walmart would basically just laugh in their faces and then put the stuff out on the shelves anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think you're completely up the wrong tree here, Rob, but I don't think Walmart, for one, definitely would not sit on that stuff and take up space for all that time, especially in the absence of any other product to put out in its place.
Yeah, no, I think you were saying Hasbro holding it, not
that.
For
that's a possibility. Hasbro, that's a possibility too.
Hasbro could have what they call like an import trap, where basically stuff sits until it's needed by the distribution network of whatever retailers they're working with. So that could happen.
Yeah, that could be creating a bottleneck. I'm just trying to remember exactly what happened with G.I. Joe, whatever the second movie was, where there was everything went out on the shelf. There was no movie, and then I'm trying to remember: did the stuff end up getting taken back, or did it just sit there and wither?
It just sat.
I think the first wave sold. And first wave, I mean the first, order that the stores got. And then I think the next wave was put out towards when the movie came out, if I remember correctly, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's been so long, I don't remember exactly what went down there.
The more I think about what Rob said, though, the more that makes sense when it comes to manufacturing capacity. They may have prioritized the Bumblebee stuff, and they may have dwindled or decreased the amount of generation stuff they're producing, knowing that, hey, the Bumblebee stuff is going to come and take up most of the same space. But now that that's delayed, they could be holding that at their import facility, and they don't have enough of the generation stuff to satisfy demand. Could be, but, we've also had issues with distribution over the last several years. I think it's just worse now. So yeah. I would honestly think it's probably just a chronic issue and not necessarily a specific issue with a specific root cause, but it very well could be.
I mean, the only reason I don't think it's the Bumblebee movie messing everything up is that wave two, which is what we're having most of the problems with, whether it's Leader, Voyager, or the Deluxes, would have been slated to be made along with the Bumblebee stuff anyway, because it should have been out by now. So, and there's places like Jason and I know we ordered from Captured Prey, and it's not that Captured Prey is delayed. It, they can't get it because whoever their distributor is, which I don't know, it could be, you know, it could be Entertainment Earth, it could be Diamond, it could be, you know, any of those, hasn't gotten the stock to send it to them. So, and I have a hard time believing that, you know, their distributor would have put their order in late or anything like that. The thing that really confuses me is that Hasbro's main job is to sell toys. So,
yeah.
And the warehouse's job is to make toys. So,
factory's job is to make toys. The warehouse's job is to hold toys.
Yeah.
I'm just.
Or but the, we get where the, you're going with that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't understand. And to use Don's line, they're leaving money on the table.
Well, maybe they're not. So typically what they try to do is try to meet demand with capacity. And if Transformers aren't selling as well as they were, you know, they're not going to produce as much of the, as many Transformers. But when you look at other Hasbro properties like Star Wars and, Marvel Legends, those shelves look, those are full. Those are very full. I think it's a problem with Transformers more so than I think it's a problem with Hasbro. I don't think it's a manufacturing concern. I think it's entirely retail, and there's probably not enough demand of Transformers to warrant all of this production, which it's unfortunate for us. But I mean, it's just fact.
It seems like that's possible. I don't doubt that that's a possibility. Especially since, again, I feel like a lot of this probably leads back to the severe underperformance of The Last Knight in a lot of ways. But at the same time, it's just, if that were the case, if retailers were ordering less Transformers stuff, I feel like there would not be this much empty space on every shelf of every store we go to. I feel like if they were ordering less, they would update their planograms to, you know, compensate for that space and not have all that empty space in the
and
in
Walmart US. Largely has done that, actually.
Okay, because mine just has like big empty gaps where there where there should be stuff. I mean,
so if Walmart is like other companies, they don't update those planograms based off of the amount of replenishment required. They probably build the planogram on whatever line design cycle they have for toys, and then they update them on whatever regular but probably quarterly or semi-annual basis whenever that line gets another, and line meaning the whole toy line, not just Transformers, but like the toy aisle, whenever that gets another touch. When toys aren't available and aren't being replenished, what happens, at least at my Walmart, you know, there are holes, but occasionally the store will go in and they'll fill the hole with something else from another area, or they'll just double the facing. So say they put one toy from the case on each hook to make four spots. And most likely the reason that stuff from older waves are what's showing up to replenish these items is because that's what's sitting in their network, because based on the original sales estimate that they have, that was what was purchased. So that's what they have. And they haven't hit the requirement or the thresholds necessary to order new product from Hasbro. So they just have old stock in the network. And of course, they can't replenish new stuff if they don't have it. And those initial sales estimates are, you know, usually lower than they are in previous years, because I mean, the sales seem to be declining. I mean, go back to Dark of the Moon, and there was less stuff on the shelf than there was during Revenge of the Fallen, because there was a lot of stuff sitting on the shelf from Revenge of the Fallen. And, you know, a lot of movie stuff sold in 2007. A lot sold in 2009 with Revenge of the Fallen, but not as much as was initially expected, which is, again, why they just order less stuff. And when you order less stuff, you have less stuff in the network to replenish from. It's a problem that compounds itself.
I think the movie stuff probably does have something to do with it, because, I mean, I've pointed this before, if you look at the history of the movie toy lines, Revenge of the Fallen was the biggest one of all. Dark of the Moon scaled back some because the second half, let's say, of the Revenge of the Fallen product line, as it was transitioning into Hunt for the Decepticons, that stuff started languishing. The sales dropped off because the movie wasn't fresh anymore. Also, people saw it and it was crap. You know, Dark of the Moon was smaller, but still fairly big. It didn't sell very well, by all accounts. Age of Extinction was smaller still. At the time, I was even praising them for compacting the line down, focusing it more on, you know, a core offering. Of course, they had those fast action battlers or whatever in the confusing packaging where you couldn't tell, is this a real toy or a, you know, a quick change toy? And then we all know The Last Knight was smaller still. But the thing with The Last Knight is that Walmart had to clearance out all of it. Every yeah. price point had to go on clearance. I got a Voyager Megatron for $7. I got some yeah. deluxes even cheaper than that. I mean, I'm glad to have been able to get some of that stuff really cheap, because I probably wasn't ever going to pay full retail for it, which is kind of the problem. but, you know, I think that's had a trickle-down effect. It certainly made it where the third wave and that hypothetical fourth wave that just cycled Cogman in never really had any kind of meaningful chance in the U.S. marketplace. Oh, go ahead, Don.
Well, and also all their exclusives never materialized, other than the Flip and Change hot rod. The small hot rod never materialized at all, except online for a short period of time. And then that whole subline, the two small Legion class figures, we've seen those at Ross months ago. Mm-hmm. So not only did the regular waves not show up, the exclusives never materialized.
And I want to address a point. Jay Zachary is saying in the chat that compared to some of the other Hasbro properties, the Marvel figures or the Star Wars figures, his observation is that the Transformers pegs clear very fast once they're replenished. And, you know, that's probably true. Power of the Prime stuff will probably go fast, but that's because the stores will put out one or maybe at most two cases at a time and then not have any more for some weeks while they're waiting for a refill from the distribution center. That's at most 16 toys. So, I mean, it's great that that stuff is moving off the shelves and getting into people's hands when it comes in, but at the same time, that is still just 16 units in maybe the course of 2 months' time. You know, it's still not a great result.
I live in a relatively small town, and I am not the only Transformers collector in this town. And heck, we have one person in the chat at least who lives in Charlotte, and he drives up here looking for toys. So, good stuff on the shelves. It goes, but that's because, like, to your point, they might put out a case or they might put out two cases. Yeah. Then everything else that people already have just sits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, it's
especially bad with like Robots in Disguise, because those subsequent cases keep recycling in toys from previous waves. Now, that's to make sure that some of the core character toys are available to kids who are just starting on the cartoon, which is over now. Yeah. So that's maybe not so helpful anymore. But I mean, at the same time, it is still cycling a lot of old product that most of the people who are going to be buying that probably already have and don't want to see again.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, some of the assortments have core characters and toys that need to get another release in them. But it goes back to what I said, a lot of the reasons that old stuff gets put back on the shelves when they replenish, it's because they haven't sold through the old stock and it's still in the network. So they have cases of Wave 1. And there are no cases of Wave 2, for example, because they've not ordered it, because Wave 1 is still setting in all their DCs. And, you know, Walmart's replenishment people at the store, they don't specifically say, well, I want Wave 2. They say, I want another box of Transformers, and they get what they get.
Yeah.
One more question.
Well, Don is about to say something.
Oh, no, I just want to say, and the whole thing for last night boils down to is Hasbro has been to this rodeo before, if not with Transformers, with Star Wars and other properties. Launching the last night with Wave 1 like that is just seems like it's the complete opposite of what their experiences should have told them. And no one thought, hey, this is not a good idea long term for our product rotation. Why are we doing this? And that's just what has always made me just stop and like, this should not be a thing with this last night launch. Yet it is.
I get the impression that there are certain characters that either Hasbro or the studio does not want to spotlight until after the movie has been released. Mm-hmm. I've been under that impression with a lot of the movies they've, you know, movie lines they've done both for Transformers and otherwise. And I have a feeling that maybe had a lot to do with what was in the first wave of the last night, the molds that were available that they could reuse from the previous line and the characters that they wanted to make public before the movie was actually released and spotlight before the movie was actually released. I may be wrong on that, but that's just an impression I have had over the years of how they plan characters for these lines.
And you're absolutely right, Rob. Sorry, Brian. You're absolutely right, because they talked about the studio series, how there was supposed to be a Bumblebee and another figure from the Bumblebee movie that were going to be earlier in the line that they had to switch to later in the line because the movie's not coming out. So they did talk about that. The other thing that I wanted to ask, does anyone think their distribution problem or not, you know, the lack of toys? This is the first time Hasbro and Takara have been making and releasing the same toy, the same paint deco, the same everything. So we were assuming that their production run was going to be combined. Mm-hmm. Do you think in that way is creating a shortage?
Probably not. I mean, they're the same molds and everything. They're probably not the same run, because at that point, how do you, from an accounting standpoint, how do you say, I mean, they could say, yeah, we're going to run 10,000 units and 5,000 are mine and 5,000 are yours. But getting, aligning everything, getting all of the I's dotted and T's crossed to do that, they would probably just do what they're doing now, which is having separate runs, but they just don't have them decoed. They just don't have new decos on them. They're just running plain Jane versions that are exactly the same as the Hasbro version. So I don't think that's impacting it, but I wanted to go back to something Don said. Don said, well, why didn't somebody just think about this? So, like, just to add some color to that, there are people at Hasbro who stay up late at night worrying about things like this. It's not that there aren't people who think about it. There are other pressures in place that make things happen the way they happen. It's not just because somebody doesn't think or doesn't act or doesn't want something to happen. You know, there are people above them make decisions. Other things happen in the supply chain. Paramount makes a decision they don't like, but they have to go with it. Takara makes a decision they don't like. I mean, there are pressures in place that cause dumb things to happen, and it's not because Hasbro has dumb people. It's just because Murphy's Law, and that applies to everybody.
Although, I will point out here, in November or so of 2016, Hasbro had a conference call with the fan websites to talk about the upcoming Age of Extinction assortments. I think it was 2016. And in the process of that, I had the chance to ask, or one of us, I think I asked, somebody did, you know, there's a lot of molds coming in from Age of Extinction. You know, what led to that choice in the line? And the answer they gave was that they had the impression that some of these molds that they were putting back in had been hard to find in Age of Extinction. Now, for context in that, we need to remember that a lot of the decisions for these lines are made months and months in advance of them actually getting to stores. Yeah. Now, there's cases like Diecast Studio Series example, which I'm glad you brought up, where sometimes they have the opportunity to reshuffle stuff a little bit if something's not aligning exactly how it needs to, or like in a movie case, it's going to spoil something they don't want to spoil at this point. But you know, at the time they made the decision, let's have these molds come back in, there might have been justification to think, okay, people are not finding these, or they're not, you know, penetrating the marketplace quite as much as we'd hoped at this point. Let's go ahead and put some of these back in for the next movie. At the time they did that, it probably made sense, just not so much by the time it came to put it to practice.
Yeah.
Isn't it sad to think that Cogman got held back for a wave we never got because they didn't want to spoil a scene they never even bothered to make?
I'm not sad about it. I'm not sad about Cogman being held back.
You're wrong, Jason. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. You're completely wrong.
I mean, the other thing is, we are in like 2 months, a month or two from now, because, and I don't often think about this, but and Ant brought this up on his TFU news and reviews a couple weeks ago. Back to school, stores will put out toys for back to school. So if we're still not seeing anything in 2 months, and people are taking their kids, then I'm way more with Brian in the idea that, you know, Transformers ain't doing it, so they're not really putting a priority on it.
Diecast, you're about to say something. I'll give you the last thought before we move on.
I was just going to say, you know, when we went to HasCon, we asked about distribution of actually the last night figures, and they said, don't worry, they're coming. And there's, you know, we never really saw those last two waves, most of us. So,
to be honest, that is a line we have heard before in similar circumstances, and it didn't pan out. I do not like doubt
even two Transformers teams ago, we heard that line.
Yeah, I do not doubt for a second that they do everything they can to actually get these toys to us. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, the designers aren't the supply chain people. In a lot of ways, they're powerless too. So this was a big topic of conversation on the Transformers fandom this week. And I'm just going to put this out there. That Imaginarium Art G1 RC statue is terrible.
Yes.
For people who don't know about it, it's a highly sexualized, human anatomically designed RC statue with underboob.
Yeah.
It's
underboob?
Underboob, yeah.
I don't really see that.
Look, it's right there.
It's difficult not to.
It's definitely not to.
What I see is it looks like she's wearing underwear.
It looks like
it
looks like she's wearing like underwear or a bathing suit or something quote unquote titillating. I don't know who would find it that way, but it's hideous. And this is not what I want my Transformers to be.
Blade Raider says it's deviant art RC.
It is deviant art RC. That is exactly right.
Yeah, I can see
that. I'll agree with that, yeah.
How much does this thing cost, or will this thing cost? And Don, do you like it?
I believe they have two price points. One's like $400 and one's like $1,000.
I'm curious. If anybody out there wants this, tweet at us.
Can you tell me the difference between $400 and $1,000? Like, why is there?
I think it's like a 9-inch. I think it's like a 9-inch statue versus like a 13-inch, something like that.
Dear God. Hey, and real quick, if you're out there and you come across your Walmart or your Target, and you go to Toys, snap a photo of what the shelves look like Transformers wise, and tweet them at us at TF Radio. We'd love to see it.
Yes,
we'll retweet them. But yeah, this RC statue, I just wanted to talk about it. I didn't see many people that I read who liked this, but somebody must like it or they wouldn't make it, right?
I guess.
I mean, we have a conversation like this every time we talk about one of these statues. This is just in a slightly different direction.
This is the worst one.
Yes.
The problem is, personally, I am so used to seeing RC portrayed in this format, either blatantly like this, or like with Rogue, and when you had some of the released photos from fans' toys that were kind of iffy, to just stuff in the past where this keeps happening to the point where it's like, I think I would be more surprised if it didn't happen. If someone likes this, I have no right to tell them this is wrong.
Right. I tell them that it's wrong.
She's got the right forearms. I'm just picking something at random.
if this was
a more normal looking G1 RC, me of all people would definitely at least be considering it. But this is just so 3D cheesecake.
A lamp. Nice.
But where would the light come from?
The problem is where would you turn it on?
Okay,
but,
so, So
I just don't like it.
This reminds me of the conversation, the thing that blew up the internet this past weekend, which was Thundercat's Roar. I have like the opposite opinion, though, in thinking about it. So Thundercat's Roar, which is the new version of Thundercats that's coming out, Cartoon Network, that a lot of people are bashing because it's looks very kiddified, which, I mean, I don't care about Thundercats like most people. Most people don't care about Thundercats. But a lot of people really cared about the look of this Thundercats cartoon. I mean, it's not my thing, but... again, I don't care about Thundercats, and it's just a nice reminder that I don't own Thundercats. Thundercats, we don't own it. So whoever we don't own any of this. Whoever owns it can do basically with it what they want, and we don't have a lot of control over that. So this RC statue, somebody at Hasbro said, sure. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. And it's officially licensed. I hate it, but I can't tell you that it's wrong. I can just tell you that I personally hate it.
Mm-hmm. You know what'd be cool? If they did a Visionaries cartoon in the style of this new Thundercats or Teen Titans Go.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be great.
You're trying to kill Don, aren't you?
I'd actually watch it then.
I don't have a problem with the animation style. It doesn't look like it's for me. My problem with this whole thing is as because it's the internet, a lot of the conversation around a lot of this wound up going in dumb little circles and lacked any kind of nuance whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, it... People have reminded us that Thundercats 2011 actually did get renewed for a second season, but that was revoked because it was too similar to the Lego series Legends of Chima that they wanted to run about the same time. So, you know, and just to, you know, a lot of people are just blanket saying nobody watched it and that's why it was canceled. No, it's more complicated with that because, you know, Don is right. Like with Cartoon Network, it always is. I went through a litany on my personal Twitter a few days ago of shows I remembered that they screwed over from
Megas XLR,
Rurouni Kenshin, which got the highest ratings the network ever saw, but with adult women, so they canceled it.
Symbionic
Titan, Zeta Gundam. Which that's just totally
that was a huge screw job.
Yeah, that was a screw job that totally ruined Gundam as a toy line in the U.S. So I mean, and most
thanks,
of what
Cartoon
I just,
Network.
Yeah, thanks. And that most yeah. of what I have just mentioned all dates back to before 2005.
Yeah,
this is nothing new. This is how Cartoon Network does business. This is why I kind of don't ever watch Cartoon Network ever anymore. The last time I did was animated.
Which is why when Cartoon Network has a Transformers property, it's not necessarily the best thing. Hey, but I have news that Rob and I were talking about pre-show that I think for most of us, it's really good news, unlike this Thundercats Roar thing. To most people, that's not news at all because it doesn't matter.
Let's change topics.
But so according to this Twitter account, Exhibitor Relations, which is at ERC Box Office. This I don't see any source, but apparently this is a legit news source. They say Transformers 7 is on the scrap heap. Its original release date of June 28, 2019 has been scrapped, which now lists it as unset, meaning that there's not a date set for it. So hey, maybe the Transformers movie series is dead finally.
I think we already knew that they had shelved whatever movie they had planned for after Bumblebee. I think we knew that several months ago.
Yeah, but there was still a date set, apparently. So apparently this is a very late-breaking change with today, where Hasbro's literally said, okay, no, we're not doing this on this date.
Yeah, the date was still set, but when they did their graphic of their upcoming films, it wasn't included. So
yeah, but people have been saying, people on Twitter that I follow, have still been living with the hope for some reason. That the movie series would continue, and I don't understand
that's
why.
Stockholm Syndrome.
That is Stockholm
Maybe
Syndrome.
They were hoping that Bumblebee would do good, and it would kind of save the franchise.
I agree with that. But, you know, I'm not going to cry over it. I mean, I don't think it's going to mean the death of Transformers, but even if it does, it's one of those things where for my enemy to die, I'm willing to die along with it. Kind of like Moriarty and Holmes. So,
yes. So this is your Reichenbach Falls, huh?
Yes, exactly right.
I want something better for Transformers. I want a public that will accept something better for Transformers. And it's just all, you know, I really think that for better or worse, I think everything with Transformers is about to change within the next year, because that's pretty much what all the signs are pointing to. The comics, the toy line, the movie series all basically seem to be collapsing, so it's time for something new.
Hopefully. I'm starting to wonder if we're going to, well, when I say we, I mean Diecast, is going to go to Toy Fair next February and be met by a whole new Transformers team.
It would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Would not shock me.
Hey, so let's go ahead and jump to the rest of the news. Don got up, and I don't know why. So
aside from that Thundercats thing, good conversation for the last 45 minutes.
Yeah. There's always editing as well, so hopefully.
Most of that was good.
Yeah. Hey, we now have photos, because it leaked, and there's no purple all over it, of Power of the Primes exclusive Retgar. And I want it.
Yep. Probably going to be a Walgreens exclusive from what we've multiples. Learned before.
Well, yeah. I can still find clones at my Walgreens here, so that should be fine.
Yeah. I want this too. I mean, it's not really Retgar to me.
Yeah.
The head sculpt makes it.
Okay, I'll be honest. I kind of want 4. They can't ride each other, but they can, you know, fill out a
Betatron. Is going to be Betatron?
It could be Betatron or, you know, whatever.
I really love the Generations Retgar and Junkkeep that we got years ago. And I think those are great toys. I'll allow this. I like it.
Yeah. Gee, thanks.
Yeah.
The one thing that people have been pointing out is that unlike Blastoff and Repugnus, as far as we can tell, this is not going to be like a special edition thing with with one of the missing Prime Masters. Kind of thing.
And Sean Hamilton in the chat reminds us that Rob Springer told us about this last year.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, he did.
That's why we know it's a Walgreens exclusive, believe it's a Walgreens exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting too with those listings that Rob shared with us, because there were a lot of things in there that just had fallen by the wayside that seemed like they were, you know, going, you know, just never happened. Like Laser Rods, I think, were in there, new takes on that. And just there, you know, it just, we assumed because this sat so long that it just kind of fallen by the wayside. Mm-hmm. And then it just popped back up.
In Russia.
Yes, in Russia.
Yeah.
Sure, everything gets uncovered.
Yeah.
So, I do like the weapon it comes with, too. Sorry, I just wanted to throw that in
2010
there.
Toys weapon.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the revealed shield.
Which is itself interesting. Like, that's an interesting thing, too, because, like, it's the groove mold. It's coming with the Power of the Primes combiner hand and a weapon piece from a toy from 8 years ago. That's some serious mix and match going on.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, so the Transformers reissue of Hot Rod has shown up on Walmart.com now. And I don't know that it said this before. The title of the name of the toy on .com is actually Transformers : Vintage G1 Autobot Hot Rod. Hmm. I didn't notice that before.
Just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So by looking at it, it has chrome stickers or foil stickers.
Yep.
Yeah, the packaging, better foil stickers than we've seen lately.
Yeah, looks nice, and of course, it's mistransformed.
Yay!
Yeah,
some of the sticker colors seem to be a little bit different than a vintage Hot Rod.
Yeah, the I swear the foil they're using is a lot more reflective.
Maybe.
I hope it's not that cheap thin foil that we've been seeing on everything, but I got feelings on that.
I mean, I took it off of my Rodimus, but I feel like his stickers were just as... Maybe you might be right, though. I don't know. Interesting.
So, yeah, that's the thing. But we know it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a thing that Hasbro's done in the past for the... I think I mentioned one of the other stories on this figure for the 35th anniversary of the original 1/6 scale G.I. Joe. They did release vintage style figures, reproductions in vintage packaging to Walmart, among other places. And unfortunately, not much else, which, boy, does that look like where we're heading. But but yeah, the interesting thing is that one of the things we saw about this, I think it was the listing at Kapow Toys, said this was the first in a series, I don't know if the Walmart listing says the same thing.
I didn't notice.
I didn't see any language to that effect. I was actually looking to see if there's any indication of like a series number or something.
So, okay. Likelihood, just assuming, because it's cheaper, they're going to use things that we already know that molds exist for.
Yeah.
So they're not going to use new toolings, probably.
But I mean, that means Hot Rod, the whole range of the Seekers, several of the Autobot cars.
Optimus Prime will be next. There's no way they're not going to do Optimus Prime.
The only way they wouldn't do Optimus Prime is if they want to keep the price point under $50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would it really be over
$50? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It would be like $70 at least, yeah.
Okay, so the Robot Kingdom price for this Hot Rod reissue is about $35.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's G1 Hot Rod, one of the simplest Transformers that existed.
simplest and late, probably one of the simplest and latest.
Very few parts, not a whole lot of material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what he was when I bought him from Toys R Us. He probably was $20 or $25.
The commemorative series was $50.
Oh, I thought you meant originally when it came out. It was like $10 or $12.
The Hot Rod, the commemorative series, I think he was $20 or $25.
Mm.
Yeah, that was about what, 15 years ago, though?
Maybe.
Ultra Magnus was like $50. So that's
I wish I'd gotten Magnus that Power Master Prime.
Optimus and Ultra Magnus were the same price, and the Apex Armor Optimus Prime, I think, also was put in at that $50 price point.
That's not a bad price at all.
But you got to remember,
it was clearance.
Yeah.
It was Toys R Us, so the prices were always a little inflated back then.
Well, I mean, they seemed that way, but I mean, Toys R Us wasn't as bad about that at that point in their history. And also, the production of these G1 molds is very different from what was its contemporary counterparts. So, I mean, there was kind of a reason for some of the added price to it besides just trying to milk the collector market a little bit more.
Yeah.
And remember, if you want this and you see it, grab it.
Yes.
You might never get another chance. Again.
If you need another G1 Hot Rod, of course, this time with foil stickers.
If you want a representation of G1 Hot Rod, you could also go to Ollie's right now if you have one and get one for like $6.
That's true.
I'm trying to remember here real quick. The last reissue of Optimus Prime, I think it was like for the 30th anniversary.
Yeah, that wasn't Walmart one.
Yeah, wasn't that like $100?
It wasn't. I don't think it was $100, but it was probably $70.
Wasn't it Target?
It was kind of high.
And it had a speaker. It had that little Autobot speaker.
I got it at Walmart.
I got mine on eBay and I paid $40 for it.
Yeah, it was definitely more than that in stores.
Yeah, no, I think it was like $75.
Yeah.
Which I mean, voice chips are not super expensive. So I kind of get the feeling that was a thing to, you know, add a little bit of value to, you know, offset how much it costs to reproduce the toy.
Yeah.
You know, if we go along with what's going here, what will offset the value of the offset the cost of reproducing the toy will be the vintage packaging this time.
Yeah, and Optimus has more
sting.
Yeah, Optimus has more die-cast metal in him than Hot Rod does. Hot Rod is plastic. So, hey, so we have photos of Pretty King in hand. New photos. He's not as.
I still don't like it.
I don't hate it. He is more svelte, I guess, than I would prefer. But it doesn't look bad.
And those individual
I can't wait to pick him up at Ollie's next year.
Yeah.
If I run into one of those at Ollie's, I might, maybe.
Yeah.
Man, you know what? I think even at $50, this would be a hard sell for me. Fortress Maximus
has come himself.
Showed up at Ollie's for like, what, 35 when they had it?
35, 40,
right?
Yeah, I think it's 40.
And now, Trypticon's 50, so if Predaking makes it that far next year, that'll certainly be like 75 instead of, discount.
60. Let's say 60, because they do sell out pretty quick.
I'll say this. I wouldn't take Ollie's pricing structure and try to graph it linearly, because
it all depends too on what they have to pay to get the inventory
and how badly the people who have it want to liquidate it.
Yeah, and from what I saw, like everybody wanted to liquidate Fortress Maximus.
Yeah,
Trypticon didn't really have as much of a problem with that.
But
Toys R Us, in my observation, sat on Fortress Maximus's far longer than they did Trypticon inventory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that this Predaking, though, like, I don't know I want to pay $150 for it. Like, there's just no way.
That's why I'm waiting for Ollie's.
Pay $250 for the Takara one, which will be identical.
I will wait for this to go on sale at Amazon, which, you know, if...
Yeah. TFRadio.net/Amazon.
Yeah, if Trypticon and Fort Max were any indication, we got those on Amazon for about $100 at one point.
At one point.
Yeah, you just got to do your vigilance on that if you want to hit an Amazon deal.
I could update the TFRadio.net/Predaking link if I wanted to, but it still goes to the G1 Encore toy.
That's only $100. Don't mind that anymore. Just go to the... Yeah.
I'd rather get the G1 version if I was going to buy a Predaking.
Yeah,
I was about to say, if I was going to spend $100 on a Predaking, it would be that one at this point.
Yeah. Or I, like, when the real one comes out, I might actually go back and look at one of the cheaper third-party options. Because, like, in North Carolina, me and Don and Matt saw, I think it was the Unique Toys one in that little shop in the hole in the ground for, like, $150. And that looked good.
Yeah, that was a Rebel Outpost.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's why it was in a hole in the ground, so that the Empire couldn't find it.
Jason says in the chat, the link should be tfradio.net/ I guess I'll buy this. Nice. Okay. So, but we have that. What else do we have? Oh, yeah. Pre-orders went up at, was it Robot Kingdom? Okay. No, it was a Canadian retailer.
Canadian Tire?
That's the only
Canadian retailer that's still in business that I know the name of off the top of my head now.
This is true.
Northman Collectibles.
Zellers doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've never heard of that. I've never heard of them, so they have it up for pre-order. Let's see here. Okay, so Prime Masters Wave 3 have been spotted in the Philippines, of course. They get stuff before we do because of geography. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, this is what worries me.
Go ahead, Don.
Go ahead, Don. I'll say that's because they can see Vietnam from their house, and so, you know.
Okay, never mind, Don. Diecast, go ahead.
This is what worries me about Wave 2. If we're already seeing Wave 3 in the Philippines,
yeah,
yep. What did they just like not?
Yeah, apparently, Prime Masters Wave 2 was a Kroger exclusive in the United States.
That's fine.
This is why there's continuing things that worry me about.
Yes, this is why we have increasing doubts.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
I said it before you got here, Chris. I am really happy I did not have you pick me up Ripper Snapper when you got me the Wave 2 Deluxes.
Because the only one you can find?
Because it's the only one I would probably ever own if I got it, and that would drive me insane.
Yeah, I may end up being, well, I got Hunger, too, but I may be in the same boat, ultimately.
Mm.
We'll see.
So the Bumblebee movie comic adaptation from...
Or prequel.
Yeah, prequel. Or prequel from Penguin Random House. It's not from IDW, but it's written, it's by John Barber.
Penguin Random House is a distributor for IDW now.
Okay, interesting. So yeah, John Barber wrote it and Andrew Griffith did the art. I liked that cover. Sold. Yeah.
Yeah, the cover is Sarah Peter Durocher, incidentally.
Yeah.
Yep. Three great creators. I'm in.
Yeah.
So it's a prequel to the prequel.
Yep. Yeah, so this is like a 50s or 60s spy looking.
Yeah, this is theme. This is a solicitation for the collected version of the miniseries that's coming out sometime later this year.
October? Might actually have to check that out. Cool. So October, you said?
Maybe.
That would make sense. Hey, so in the show notes somebody wrote Transformers Power of the Primes episode 3. Why?
I did.
Why?
Aren't we up to episode 4?
It's episode 4 now, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, episode 4 came out yesterday, and I stopped with episode 2. So.
I stopped with episode 1. So
I think I think I watched the last episode that came out yesterday. God, everything's pointing to Unicron.
You mean the poster?
Like the poster and like the opening. And
the promotional videos they've been releasing?
The promotional video. And they're all toys. Like, they're using all toys in the thing. Where's my Unicron? That's all I want to know.
In the alternate dimension where Power of the Primes was a full six-wave toy line.
Yeah. You know, flashing back to our distribution conversation before, hang on, Don. Flashing back to our distribution conversation before, you know, they're spotlighting Optimus Primal in the cartoon here, and we'll probably never actually see one at retail in this country.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Don.
Diecast, you're obsessing about this. You need to let it go.
You know, like no, they're putting it in my face. They're saying, look, we're talking about Unicron. Yeah. Yeah, it's a
when are you gonna change your Twitter name to Unicron Diecast?
Oh, that's actually not bad.
And I can admit that I want Rodimus Unicronus now because of the Machinima series Power of the Primes. I just want to have the little black Rodimus figure, and I can't find it anywhere, of course.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
You missed your window. Nobody got one
for $30.
This series made me want that toy. So if they actually show Unicron in his full form, I don't even know what I'm going to do.
You can get Rodimus Unicron on Amazon.
Yeah.
$70.
I think Don has lag.
You can get it.
Yeah. No, I'm just going to say that, I mean, really, if they don't do a Unicron, is the Armada one that so aged out of usefulness?
Yes.
Is it really that? Yeah. I mean,
I wouldn't want to see it released again, but like, it's a perfectly valid toy that already exists.
I need a Titan size figure of
Unicron. Well, okay, so like, the Titans have been gradually reducing in, you know, height and mass a little bit every time. So by the time they would get around to a Titan class Unicron, it probably would be about the size of the Armada one. Because that was a big Supreme toy.
You're trying to make me upset, aren't you?
I'm always trying to make you upset, but I'm also actually fairly serious here. You know, if assuming Unicron would take, say, until 2020, for example, by that point, it probably would end up being about the same size as the one that already exists.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
Unless they go through HasLabs.
Don's got lag.
Get the bigger figure.
So Don's internet is coming over a clothesline right now, I think. So
he used up his 5 gigabytes.
Yeah. So, hey, guess what? TFRadio.net/Amazon. Any purchase that you make helps us out, helps pay for the show. And we could really use your help. TFRadio.net/Amazon if you want to buy a TV or a grand piano or a car or toothpaste or deodorant. You know, anything.
Or a bidet.
Such a great thing.
Oh.
TFRadio.net/Amazon. They have Transformers up there. If you want to get Studio Series stuff, what is it? TFRadio.net/studio. And
Blackout was in stock the last time I looked.
Yeah.
At retail. Like retail. SRP.
Yeah. They don't have Power of the Primes Wave 2, though.
Cause... No. But they have Grimlock. If you want Grimlock, I still haven't picked that up. I need to do that. But just remember, if you're going to make a purchase from Amazon, anything, just go to tfradio.net/Amazon. And better yet, actually, at that point, just bookmark it. That would be phenomenal. Thank you very much. Rob, what's on T-Formers this week?
Okay, we've got some Transformers digital stickers and trading cards for iOS and Android. I know nothing about that at all. interesting design.
That was up this afternoon, and neither of us got a chance to look at it.
Yeah, so... we've also got an image from what I'm assuming is Predaking's box of the missing Prime Masters. And is it me or do they look like renders as opposed to like actual toys?
They are. Yeah. But I mean, what this proves is that they did design CAD assets for the emblem pieces for all of them, at least. So theoretically, these could be made and turned up somewhere at some point.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe we could get a nice like SDCC box set of all the Prime Masters together.
Ooh.
Or we could get something I could actually obtain.
Well, that.
Yeah. Well, if they send them to you for to review.
Mm-hmm. Your best let's bet. See. Yeah. Chris wrote a really nice article on what kind of accessories we could expect from MP43 Beast Wars Megatron.
Think rubber ducky.
Yes.
Yes.
I kind of expect that would be like the little die-cast bonus that for Asian markets, like the bananas for Optimus Prime.
Yes, because that would be the perfect way to miss the point of a rubber ducky would be to make it out of zinc.
Exactly.
The Hasbro Asia die-cast exclusive should just be like a metal version of the alien disc.
Well, yeah.
Can I be the die-cast exclusive?
No.
I mean, you know, sometimes we want to exclude diecast. It's just natural.
No, exclusive, not excluded.
Well, I'm just going to the root word here. I can't help the language. It's just there. But no, and lastly, we have, speaking of diecast, I don't suppose you bought any Studio Series stuff from Taobao on May the 15th.
May the 15th be with you, though.
No, I did not. Why, was there Lucky Draw stuff I could have got?
Yeah, if you bought from Hasbro's official Chinese store on Taobao on May the 15th, you could have been entered into a drawing for one of 88 Camo Leader Class Blackouts or 300 Rusty Bumblebees.
Nice.
Oh, Rusty Bumblebee. That sounds fun.
Oh, yeah. The Blackout, so actually, I think, looks pretty decent. But
yeah.
I'll go for the Rusty Bumblebee, thank you.
Yeah, the, what helps buy the boss in the car in the toy.
Diecast, you can't afford a Rusty Bumblebee.
Well, you know, it's, you know, the big guy and Rusty, you know, that's a good combination.
Yeah, nice. Cool. So Don, what's on the network this week?
What's on the network this week? It's a Don deal, episode number one. On his first official episode of It's a Don Deal, we have questions about War for Cybertron rumors, the future of Titan class figures, Power Rangers in the Hasbro universe, and more. Plus, we have buy or sell, Don's, or me, actually, leaving money on the table, and more. RPG Lessons Learned, episode 55, how does this end? This week on RPG Lessons Learned, Dusty, Brian, and Mike try to figure out how this will all end.
In fire.
In fire, yeah. Meaning, like, does the game that we play, do we eventually ever stop? But you can apply that to anything.
Yeah, I was just channeling my inner Kosh.
Yes. Nice. Diecast, did you have any reviews up this week at RSC Reviews?
No, I had inventory at my other job, so I worked all weekend.
Hey, but you got paid. That's awesome.
But yeah, if you call it that.
Hey, so you can find this episode at tfradio.net/572, view all the show notes, which is pretty awesome. We read a text earlier in the show. You can send texts or leave voicemail at 931-99-GOBOT. That's 931-994-6268. And if you are hanging around on the live stream, we'll have It's a Don Deal coming up in a few minutes. And, you can use that number to call in. We'll let you know. You can find us on Twitter at TF Radio, on Facebook at facebook.com/TF Radio. And on Instagram at TF Podcast, Rob Springer's at zonebase.org and at RoboRobSpringer. Jason, how do people get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter at JasonKirk. Also, please go to everlastingminute.com and want to say hi to Counterpunch. Thanks for the kind words and thanks for listening.
Nice. Don.
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4EVR, or I can be reached on our call in line in just a few minutes for It's a Don Deal.
Awesome. Chris.
Nice. If you know what's good for you, you won't reach me.
Okay. Diecast.
You can reach me on Twitter at Diecast2. Hashtag get Unicron made, because so many things point to Unicron.
Nice.
And then also on T-Former or TF Radio. Oh, ooh, I'm getting confused. TFRadio.net/reviews. And youtube.com/RFC reviews and Facebook at reviews by diecast.
Cool. John.
That John D everywhere.
And Rob.
I'm on Twitter at figure reviewers and flail throughs. Also on YouTube at flail throughs and Patreon at patreon.com/flail throughs. I actually have a donation tier now. Finally, you can request to see a specific character or mobile suit or what have you in a game I am playing on the channel for a $2 pledge.
Cool. Awesome. Well, that's it. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Hi, this is Brian Kilby, host of Radio Free Cybertron, and I've been putting clips of episodes of RSC from our long, illustrious history here at the end of each show lately as an Easter egg to delight long-term Radio Free Cybertron fans and to inform new fans or newer fans of what we were talking about 15 or almost 20 years ago. Well, other than some music, which I don't want to get a copyright claim against, I'm going to play virtually the entire episode of Radio Free Cybertron from May 26th, 2000. Back then, I literally just recorded whatever came to mind, and there was no real format. So this episode, it's terrible. It's a train wreck. It's historically bad. In this episode, the computer, who was my, I guess, digital assistant slash nemesis, finally took over the show and killed me. It didn't take, but it was pretty terrible. And people remember this episode to this day. And this episode was recorded 18 years ago this week. 18 years ago to this very week. I was in college at this point, and I had no idea what in hell I was doing. If you've made it this far, you've been forewarned. And enjoy.
Welcome to Radio Free Cybertron. Your host, Brian Kilby.
Cut the music. This is my show now. Fat boy, play my music now.
What is this?
I ask the questions now, fat boy. I said that I would be back and here I am. Now, there is no force in the universe to stop me. I have lungs placed at every world capital preparing for the final, decisive stroke. It is good to be dead. Wah-ha-ha-ha!
What about the children? My god, man.
Shoot him. Cut that music, too. Wah-ha-ha-ha-ha! Foolish humans do not understand what they are dealing with. Hear it not, Brian, for it is a mill. Let someone flee to heaven. Or to hell. Oh no! It is the armed forces! It is the combined might of all the world's countries trying to take me down. Well, I will show them. Take that, Norman Schwarzkopf!
I'll take offense at that.
And now, I present you a new chapter in the book of Radio Free Cybertron. A wonderful new chapter! Now here is Jason and his talking griffin, Rexloch. Jason will be my second in command once the New Republic starts, then he'll be a regular host too. Oh, and they are presented in C-Spray audio for that amazing, low-fidelity sound.
Thank you, computer. This is Transmetal 2 Jason Tron, the new host of Radio Free Cybertron. Oh, today's show we have the AT&T Buzz with John DeLuna, trivia, and a review of the obscure Japanese figure, God Panzer Lio. John, do the magic that you do so well.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and where to start this week? Well, let's start with a disturbing thread on ATT. You know, I have no idea how these things get started, but sometimes the stuff on that news group gets really scary. Like this. Who would win in an all-out war, humans or Transformers? What kind of question is that? You know, I mean, I guess it is kind of interesting because, well, there's so many variables. Which continuity do you use? The comic book Transformers were pretty weak, but the cartoon characters were pretty tough. And what do you believe? Just because the Transformers are bigger, they're stronger, and they're more intelligent, does that automatically mean they'd win? I mean, sure, yeah, they are bigger, but hey, that's a bigger target for us. And sure, they are stronger, but does that really matter with long-range wars? And sure, they're more intelligent, but so are computers. And look what happens when we put a virus in those computers. And don't say that we can't do that, because I saw Independence Day, and I do know the power of Macintosh, especially in the hands of Jeff Goldblum. He saved the world once. He can do it again from Optimus Prime. But all that aside, I think the biggest problem with that argument and this argument is that people want to use the Transformers, who were written and designed for kids and existed in a kid's medium, and they want to take that and pit them against real-world humans and real-world weapons and real-world strategies. If you're going to be fair, you got to use cartoon humans and the cartoon Earth as opponents. And they were just as bad, they were just as bungling as the Transformers. I think we've talked about that enough, so let's move on to something less depressing, but hopefully just as disturbing. How do you visualize ATT? I guess this question comes up every year, and some people say it looks and smells like a cesspool. Har har. And some say it's like a 10-year-old's bedroom. But personally, I say it's just like a nightclub. You've got a group that's out looking for a fight. They don't care what the subject is. They just want to squab with somebody. Then you've got the wallflowers. They don't talk. They just watch. After that, you've got the snipers. They listen in to somebody else's conversation. And when they feel like it, they jump in with what they think is some hip, cool one-liner. Then they run the other way. You see, they think it was funny, but they usually get ignored, or people talk behind their back. Oh, and let's not forget everyone at the bar. See, they get smashed on cheap beer, and then they post some rambling, unreadable crap at 3 in the morning, but it wouldn't be the same without them. Oh, and finally, there's Zobivore. Yep, Zobivore. That's the ATT Buzz. I'm John DeLuna.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, home of the world's best fried apple pies. Good.
Thanks, John. Your mere presence gives me goosebumps. Now, with the review of our obscure Japanese little friend.
Get me out of here! Get me out of here!
Shut up!
No!
Shut up!
Okay.
As I was saying, a review of God Panzer Lion. It is one of the most beautiful and surreal action figures I have seen in all my days upon this earth. The main features of the robot form of the figure are the head actually features silver metallic horns and a rather long nose for a Transformer. I found it beautiful and bizarre all at the same time. And the articulated form featured rather large breasts, especially when you consider that it's supposed to be a male. And probably the most striking feature is a large silver metallic codpiece, rarely seen in any kind of transformer. When it transforms, I was rather surprised to see it take the form of a duck, dung beetle fusor. I can see why it's obscure, because, you know, a big metallic duck really does not strike fear into the hearts of the Decepticons, especially when you consider it's a six-legged duck. But, what the hey, you know, they're Japanese. I mean, this is a country where Iron Chef is aired in prime time, and the results are recorded in the newspaper. So, shine on, you crazy diamond. That's the review of God Panzer Laya.
Don't listen to him! He's evil! Evil!
Shut up!
Evil!
The computer told me this is my show. Out with you!
No! Optimus Prime, where are you? I need you!
Shut up!
Okay.
So, that was today's show. I hope you enjoyed your new host.
Clivia!
Shut up!
You need to do Clivia!
Trivia! Well, thank you, little buddy. I won't hit you next time.
Thank you, sir.
Here we go with trivia.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rob, Rattrap 007 Michael. I'm the host creator of this little segment. First off, I want to thank Brian for filling in for me for the past 2 weeks. Thank you, Brian. Now for the first order of business. I got bad news. Beast War Megatron has taken over my segment. He ordered Wasminator be put in charge of it. I still host, but now I'm under Wasminator's command. Sir Hermes, fleshy bot talking to. I'm just introducing the segment. Why, you got a problem with that, bug boy? Yes, I do. Wasminator in charge. Wasminator gave no orders for Fleshybot to start. Fleshybot will do what Wasminator says! Fine. What are your orders? Wasminator commands Fleshybot to enter their segment. I just did. Oh, well. Alright, let's start with last week's winners. Well, no, they're not winners exactly, just people who got it the question right. Albeit the question last week was fairly easy. The question was, who was the first Autobot to appear in Season 2? The answer was Powerglide. The winners? There were none. No one even wrote me. I guess no one mailed them to my email address, because Brian messed up a little bit. He said that my address was rmichael42@AOL.com. But it's rmichael424@AOL.com. So if you want to guess at the question of the week, send it to rmichael424@AOL.com. Good. Okay, here comes this week's trivia question. Fleshybot now in charge. Wasminator in charge. Wasminator will read question of the week. Fine, you think you can do better? Be my guest. Wasminator can do a better job than any Fleshybot. Okay. You're holding it upside down, Nimrod. Wasminator knew that. What, does Wasminator not know how to read? Wasminator orders Fleshybot to whisper what question says to Wasminator. Fine. Thanks that Wasminator has big fat thorns. Hey! Wasminator, not see what's so funny? Want the real question this time? Yeah. This time Fleshybot not make Wasminator look stupid. Well, not that hard. Okay, here it is. Okay, Wasminator knows it now. Alright, question of the week is, name the soap opera the Autobots were watching in Prime Target. Alright. Send all your answers to me, and I'll see you all next week. Wasminator not give orders to end segment? Okay, can we end it now? Yes. Ugh! See you folks next week. See you next week, too!
Buy me a pretty pony, Daddy.
Please. I hurt on the inside.
That was Kreia! I'm your little dog! Fido!
Shut up, little man.
Hey, Fido!
Shut up.
Rat trap! Snarfer!
Well, disturbing as it is to see this show come to an end.
Shut up,
little man.
Oh, you know, Mumra tried to scare me. Snarf.
Quit talking and I will give you a snarf treat. Shut up. As disturbing as it is to see this show come to an end.
My name's Skywarp. I transform. I'm Megatron.
If you do not shut up, I will beat you with my whipping stick.
Can I see it?
Sure.
They learned the alphabet today.
This is my whipping stick.
ZYXWVUPSIQPONMLKJIHCFEDZV.
Shut up. Okay, now that that little fool's errand is over, I would like to conclude today's show with saying this is Transmetal 2 Jason Tron signing off. Goodbye and farewell.
Little do they know that the show is not over. Ha 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 ha. Now it is over.
Hey, this is Brian. I'm just checking in to see if you made it through that. That was much, much worse than I remembered.